Many people just forget him and don't come to know him in a personal way. Well, tonight my story is found in 2 Kings chapter 4. And there we're going to talk about a woman. A woman who had her husband die. She was now a widow. This man, he was one of the sons of the prophet. Oh, when he died, he went home to be with the Lord. For you see, when you die, you go into eternity. Either you spend eternity with God, or it's everlasting destruction and damnation in the lake of fire, the place called hell. Well, this man, he was okay. But the problem was this, that he left his wife with two sons and a horrible debt. She couldn't pay it. Financially, she was in big trouble. But do you know something? Tonight doesn't make any difference who we are in this room. Our father put us in debt too. Every one of our fathers spiritually put us in debt. Because you see, just like we talked with Stephen here, we've all been born into sin. Why, we read in Romans chapter 5 in verse 12 where it says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Every one of us. We've been born in sin, and the wages of sin is death. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. But oh, listen, I'm glad to tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ came and he paid the price for my sin. He paid the price for your sin so that you can have eternal life. Oh, tonight it's a gift. And I trust that tonight, if you've never taken that gift, that you'll ask the Lord to be your Savior. It's that simple. Take it, and you will get eternal life. Well, this man left his wife as a widow and put her in financial troubles. And what happened is that the creditor, that means the man whom she owed the money to, he came knocking at her door. And when he came knocking at the door, what he said to her was this. Now look it. This is how much you owe. You either pay up, or I'm going to take both of your sons and I'll make them slaves. They'll be bondmen for me. Oh, the poor woman. She didn't know what to do. She knew she didn't have enough money. She didn't know how she could pay the debt. Now, we read a very interesting verse tonight in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 that says, owe no man anything. And you know that's good advice. There's many people today who have got themselves in financial difficulty. I meet many couples, you know, they're in such great debt. In fact, many people in the United States, I would dare say, are only about 2 weeks away from bankruptcy. The credit card, although it could be a good thing, is a very bad thing, and many people don't know how to use it. Oh, there's nothing wrong with having it for an emergency or something, but people are living way beyond their needs. Now, I don't know why this man got in debt. It could have been that there was a poor crop from the olive trees that year, and I don't know what the problem was, because sometimes even when you're the best of stewards, you can run into trouble. But basically, the problem today, as I see it in America, is that the young people, they want to start off where their parents left off. And you know, that's big trouble. And they spend too much money. And the Word of God makes it clear that we need to be very careful. Again, I want to say this. If you don't give God his portion, you're going to be in bigger trouble. You need to give unto the Lord that which is due to him. And you know, many people, they give to God what's left over. Well, financial problems can be really serious. I do a fair amount of counseling, and sometimes when I talk with couples, I find that financial problems are one of the biggest things going today. And you know, if you're financially in trouble, it will cause you problems spiritually. It will cause you problems emotionally. It will cause you problems socially. And also, it will cause problems in the bedroom. And it will cause problems in everything in your life. Oh, that we might understand what it is to commit it to the Lord. And this woman here, she had big problems. Now, the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. Now, when the Bible says that, it does not mean that the woman is inferior. Oh, no. You know, a weaker vessel. Oh, you take, like, for instance, you know, if you talk about cups, you know, like China cups. Sometimes, you know, ladies have these very fancy China cups, and then they have mugs. Well, you know, the China cup, it's the weaker vessel, but my, it's more expensive. And not only that, in my opinion, they're far more beautiful. And so you see, the weaker vessel, well, she can be more expensive and she can be more beautiful, but weaker in the sense that she's weaker physically. Doesn't mean weaker spiritually. Oh, no. There's many women who are far more spiritual than men. In fact, the world will even tell you that, because the fact there's more women on the mission field than there are men. And so we find that here she was, left with this big problem. Now, the creditor had come and knocked. And so what this woman decided to do is that she was going to go knocking at the house of Elisha, the man of God. That's what she decided to do. And she went with her two sons to Elisha's home. But you know, at the same time when she made that trip to go knocking at Elisha's door, the Lord was knocking. Oh, he's always knocking at the believer's hearts as well as the sinner's hearts. You see, there's that verse in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." You know something, fellas and girls and men and women, that's written to believers first. Oh, we can use it for unbelievers, but God is speaking to believers. Those who have come to know him as Savior, but they don't make him Lord of their life. You see, they want to run their own life, and that's why they get in trouble. You see, that verse says, "Behold, I stand." Oh, it tells me, first of all, that we have a very patient Savior. Our Savior is patiently standing outside of somebody's heart door right here tonight. Some believer. Right in this room. But you know, not only is he a patient Savior, but he's a persistent Savior. For the verse goes on to say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You know what I'm talking about. He's knocked at your heart's door. And you're not submitting to him. And then you see it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, if any boy, if any girl, if any woman..." Not only is he a patient Savior and a persistent Savior, but he's also a pleading Savior. And then, you know, it says, "If you will open up, he will come in." Oh, he's a promising Savior. He's a promising Savior. And the next thing we find out about him is that he's a providing Savior. For no matter what you have, if you give it to him, oh, he'll multiply it and use it in an abundant way. So this woman, she came knocking at Elisha's door, but the Savior, the Lord God, was knocking at her door. You know, I like that verse in Matthew chapter 7 where it says in verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The key words are ask, seek, and knock. And if you take the first letter of each one of those words, ask, seek, and knock, what do you get? Ask. Oh, that's the important thing. We need to come to Him and ask. And He never tires of the fact that we come to Him and keep asking. Oh, God wants us to ask of Him. And so the woman, she came to Elisha's house and she poured out her heart and she said, oh, man of God, you know that my husband was one of the sons of the prophets and that he feared God. But he died. And now I am left with this horrible debt. The creditor just came and said that if I don't pay up by such and such a time, he's going to take my two boys and make them slaves. What can I do? Elisha said to her, what can I do for you? What's in your house? And she answered by saying, all I have left in my house is just a little pot of oil. Elisha said to her, what you need to do is you go to your neighbors, all of your neighbors, not just to some, but to all, and you borrow as many empty vessels as you possibly can. Doesn't make any difference what size they are. You just borrow them and then put them in the house. And when you've got all you can collect, shut the door and then pour from your pot of oil. You see, in the beginning of the story, we have the tragedy. Oh, she was in debt. And then we find that there's a treasure that is found. A treasure that's found. A pot of oil. Oh, do you know what the oil speaks about in the Word of God? It speaks about the Spirit of God. And the major thing that the Spirit of God does is first convict us of our sin. And then the next thing that the Spirit of God will do is teach us all things, especially about Christ. Oh, He always wants to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next thing about the Spirit of God is that He's a comforter. Oh, what a great thing to know the kind of a comforter that He is. Now, so we have, first of all, the tragedy. Then we have the treasure that is discovered. You know, if you get saved, the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. And some people are confused about the Spirit of God, you know. But when you get the Spirit of God, you get the whole Spirit of God. The big problem is this, that the Spirit of God doesn't always get all of you. That's what the problem is. That's why He's outside your heart door knocking. You see, the Spirit of God doesn't come in pints, quarts, or gallons. No, you get all of the Spirit of God, but He doesn't get all of you. And oh, if we will only surrender to Him. So, the next thing we find is that the woman is given a test. She's tested to go and to collect all these empty vessels. You see, that was the only requirement. Didn't make any difference if they were beautiful ones or ugly ones, short ones or tall ones, big ones or small ones. It didn't make any difference what their color was or whether they were colorless. They just had to be empty, and she had to go to all of her neighbors. Now, you know, in order to go to your neighbors, you have to have a good relationship with them, you know? And this is where the testimony comes in. I wonder, what kind of a relationship do you have with your neighbors? Do you have a good testimony among them? Well, she went to these neighbors, and the testimony is the next thing. And the neighbors probably, no doubt, had questions to ask, and they would have said, what do you want them for? Oh, she said, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. But the man of God made it very clear that I needed to collect all kinds of empty vessels because the Lord God was going to meet my need. And I know that it says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And like our verse says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, what a wonderful thing to know. And so this woman, she had a great testimony as she spoke to the people about God. And she collected all of these vessels, and then what she did is she went inside the house with the boys. And when she went inside the house, after she got all that she could get, she shut the door. That's what God said she needed to do, was to shut the door. And then the very next thing that she was supposed to do was to pick up her little pot of oil, and she was to pour. Oh, it was exciting. She took that little pot of oil, and she began to pour into a great big pot. Let me tell you, what happened is that the oil from that little pot filled up the big pot, and as soon as it was filled, it stopped. Then she went and got another vessel, and she poured again. And the oil filled it to the top, and then it stopped. Oh boy, the eyes of those boys, they really bugged out. They got involved as they listened and watched what mother was doing. And the boys began to bring her the empty pots. Then the mother said, now look, boys, what we need to do is we need to separate the full one from the empty one. Oh, there's a lesson in that for us too. That we may live a separated life. We don't talk about that a lot. You see, there's nothing wrong with being in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. And we need to live a separated life. And so we find that she kept on filling them. But every time she filled one, the oil stopped. Finally, she said to her boys, bring me one more vessel or an empty jug. And the boys said, mother, there is no more. And so the oil completely stopped. You see, the oil waited on the vessel. When there was no more vessels, then there was no more oil. Oh, I want to tell you, fellas and girls and men and women, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it is. We're waiting for that very last soul to be saved. And as soon as the last person comes to know Christ as Savior and joins the church or the body of Christ, it's all over. And we're going home. Oh, that's the great news. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air as soon as the last one receives Christ. I don't know when that's going to be, but I feel it's going to be very soon. You know, when the woman filled all of them with oil, then she went to see Elisha again. And there she was as she came with her boys. And she was so excited. And she told the news, oh, it was wonderful, she said. You know, we just kept filling and filling and filling, and as long as the pots were there, the oil kept coming. She told the story, and Elisha said to her, what you need to do now is you need to go and sell that oil and then pay the debt. And you'll have enough left over that you can live on it. And so the woman went off to do it. Now this story always reminds me about Abraham. Do you remember when Abraham found out that his nephew Lot was in serious trouble because God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And Lot was living there? Oh, Abraham began to pray to God. And he said to God, Lord, if there's 50 righteous people there in the city, you won't destroy it, will you? And the Lord said to Abraham, if I can find 50 righteous people, I'll not destroy the city. But Abraham thought about the wickedness of that city. He said, but Lord, maybe there's only 45 righteous people in the city. Will you spare it for 45's sake? Yes, Abraham. If there's just 45 in that city, I'll spare it for the sake of 45. But Abraham said, but Lord, maybe there's only 40 in the city that are righteous in your sight. Would you spare it for 40's sake? Yes, said the Lord. If I can find 40 righteous people, I'll spare it for the sake of 40. But Abraham said, oh Lord, maybe there's only 30 in that city. And the Lord said, I'll spare it even for 30's sake. And Abraham thought about it again. And he said, Lord, the city is so wicked, maybe there's only 20 righteous in the city. Will you spare it for 20? The Lord said to Abraham, if there's just 20 people that are righteous in that city, I'll spare it for the sake of 20. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to ask only one more time. If there's just 10 that are righteous in that city, will you spare it for 10's sake? Yes, said the Lord. I'll spare it even if there's just 10 that are righteous in that city. You know, Abraham stopped asking and God stopped promising. You see, just like the oil pot, the oil pot waited on the vessel. And the Lord was waiting on Abraham. But God couldn't find 10 righteous people in that rotten city. And so that city was destroyed with fire and brimstone. Oh, this woman, though. She went and sold the oil. She had the money. And just like the creditor said, he would be back. Oh, he was back, all right. But she was able to pay the debt. Oh, she had the money to pay it. Yeah. They were redeemed. Oh, my, I want to tell you something. Those boys were redeemed. You know something? That you and I can be redeemed or bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation or manner of life, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I want to say something to you believers tonight. That the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just die to save us, but also that our manner of life or our conversation would be changed. You know, if you just see the blood of Jesus Christ for your salvation, and you don't go any further, well, you haven't grown too much in the things of the Lord. You see, our life should show it. Let me tell you, boy, when those boys found out that they were not going to be slaves, there was rejoicing. Oh, yes, and the woman, oh, do you know what? The woman had the papers to prove that she was set free. Tonight, we have the papers to tell us that we're set free. That's what the Bible is all about. The Bible says this, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It also tells us in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you will be free indeed. Oh, what a tremendous thing to know that you're set free. Then John chapter 10 and verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 tells us this. These things, that means the things in the Word of God, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Not just think or hope, but that you may know you have eternal life. Oh, tonight, I trust that you know you have eternal life. Now, just for a moment, I want the lights to come back on as I just have one more little illustration that I want to do here, okay? So we'll have the lights come on. And let me see. Who do I have here in the line of my boys? What do we got in boys? Okay, thank you, son. Come along. That's good. You come up here. That will be good, that boy. And I don't see any other young boy here particularly that's a little bit on the older side like those boys were in my story. So how about Megan, would you like to help me too? You can be a boy tonight for this part because there was two sons in the story and we'll use you. That's very good. All right, now what I want you to do, okay, is for one of the sons, what we did is we collected all the vessels, right? So you go over there and get that tray of vessels and you be careful with it and bring it over here, okay? That's good. Now remember that the woman, all she had in the house was just a pot of oil. That's all she had. Just a pot. Now, Megan, what you need to do is go and get this other tray. Or I'll tell you what, you just sit, stand on this other side here. That's right. And what's your name, buddy? Judd? Oh, Jed. Okay, what does that stand for, Jed? J-E-D? Jedediah. Oh, that's a good name. Good. How long have you had that name? Huh? Well, how long has that been? Oh, 12 years. Okay, Jedediah. Good, Jed. Okay, Megan, you stand on this side. You face this way. And what you're going to do, Megan, is you're going to give me one of these vessels first. Let's start with the big ones first, the glass ones first, and then the bigger one. Okay, let's start with the big one. That will be fine. Okay, and remember what she did is she took the pot of oil and she began to pour. And as she poured, remember that the oil kept coming right to the top, and then the oil stopped. Okay, the oil stopped. And then what did the boys do with it, Megan? Megan, was you listening tonight? What did they do with it after they filled it up? Yeah, but what did they do with the vessel that got full? They put it aside, so you put it over in that tray over there, okay? Now, Megan, we got to hurry because my time is up, and if we're over time, it's your fault, not mine, okay? Okay, all right, Megan, let's have the next one. Good. And here we are, and remember, once again, she took that oil pot, and she poured out the oil, and you know, the oil went right to the top, and then it stopped. You know, it was exciting, wasn't it? Oh, I'll tell you. It was a great thing to watch. Because as she, come on, Megan, you got to move. Okay, good. That's it, girl. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then she would bring, or he would bring, the next one. Okay. And the oil would come right out of that pot. And it would come all the way up to the top. It would stop. It was wonderful. Oh, I'll tell you, we have got a great God, a tremendous God. That's good. And then there would be another one. The same thing. Every time it would stop, it would get to the top, and then it would stop. Oh, that was great. You know, when God says he's going to meet our need, oh, he does such exciting things for us. You know, the problem is that so many of us, we never let God have control of our life. But here, this girl, this woman, because she had faith in God, why, she kept pouring and pouring. It was an exciting thing. Oh, listen, If we'll only let the Lord have His way in our life. And you know, sometimes God gives us things overflowing. Yes, that's true. When He gives a full cup, let's just put a little bit of that right in here because you're going to have trouble on the rug and then they'll be charging me for cleaning. Good. Okay, you put that over there. That's good. Mm-hmm. Yes. When He gives a full cup, He gives a full cup. I'll tell you. I want to tell you that. That's good. And you see, the oil came again. And then it would get to the top, and then it would stop. Good. Okay. Okay, that one in. And then... was done. Now it was all over with. The oil waited on the vessel. Now after the meeting is over, you can just put that down for me, Jed. That's good. After the meeting is over, Mr. Mike back there will give you both 40 points apiece too for helping me out because you did a good job. Now listen, what she did after she got all that oil is she sold it. She had enough money to pay the debt. You know, not only did she have enough money to pay the debt, you know something? She had enough money left over that she could live on it. Oh! Listen, our God has promised to meet our every need. And you know, sometimes God does great things for us. See, we even get candy too. He gives sweet things, you know, like that, okay? That's what He does. You see, we've got a great God. And you know, if you will just put your trust in the Lord, you'll find out that He'll meet your every need. Okay, there's one for you, Ryan. Good, okay. You see? And there, you want one too. Do you know that the Lord will meet all of our needs? But you know, that's great. But not only does the Lord give us things that are extras, like, you know, that we don't even need particularly. You know, the Lord also gives us substantial food, too, like the egg. Now, I just met you the other night, April. Are you ready? Ready? April? You better be ready, okay? Here it comes. Boom! Good, that's good. And it's hard-boiled, so it's all right, April. But, okay. But you know something? This woman was supplied in a wonderful way. And you know, I believe that what she did, it doesn't say this, but I believe that this woman would have taken some of that money and given it back to the Lord. Now, you know, I don't know what kind of money she had, but the money that I have right here is gospel coins with John 3:16 on it, okay? And you know, that's a good thing. Here, I'll give one to you right there. There you are. And here's one to you, that girl right back there, okay? And one for you. Good. You see, she had something that she wanted to give to the Lord. And you know, we all, you can get it afterwards, honey. That's good. Come on, sit down. You get it afterwards. We all should give unto the Lord what He gave to us. But she had enough money, get this. She had enough money to live on. And you know, when you live, you got to have clothes. So she was able to buy clothes as well. You know, that's important, you know. You know, and not only did she need clothes, but her sons needed clothes. So she had enough money to buy clothes for her boy. You know, that's exciting, I think. Not only that, she had two boys. So you had to buy enough clothes for both boys, not just for one. You see, we got a great God. And when we put our trust in the Lord, oh, you're going to find that He's going to do for you far more than you can ask or think. You know, it's just wonderful what He supplies. The more you get to know Him, the more you're going to find that He'll meet your every need. Oh, I trust tonight that you know what it is to know Him. Because He wants to do great things for you. If you will surrender your life to Him, you will find that the Lord will do wonderful things for you. Yes, way more than you ask or think. More than you can ask or think He'll do for you. What a wonderful God we have. Every eye closed. Father, again, as we bow in your presence, we just want to thank you for the Word of God. And I pray for the believers in this room that they'll surrender their life to you. Then for those in this room who have never come to know you, that they might come to know you and to know the excitement there is in knowing Jesus Christ, your Savior, and make him Lord of your life. Bless us now as we separate and give someone courage to stay behind if they have any questions, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.